Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, a candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Hey, good morning, Caregiver Nation. I've got a great show today. For all you family members out there who are looking for some help with your loved one and need to know how to bring a home care company in to assist you with anything you need, I've got the answer for you today. So grab your pen and paper because you're going to want to know. I have some guests here today from Homestead Denver North. I love Homestead Denver North. Holly and Kurt Faust own that particular franchise, and I do training up there for the Alzheimer's piece and frontal temporal dementia piece for their caregivers. And today I'm really excited to have Tara, Yvonne, and Tawny here with me to discuss how you come into a home and work with their loved ones and give them some great advice. What do you think, ladies? Welcome.
Thank you so much for having us.
Great. So the first question I have for all three of you, and we'll start with you, Tara.
Okay.
What do you love about being a Homestead caregiver?
Well, mostly it's that one-on-one stuff that we get to do,
Right.
You know, it's a personal touch. You know, I get to sit down one-on-one and get to know them, find out their ins and outs, find their a way into their hearts.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And you do it well. You've been with Homestead a long time.
Over 10 years.
Wow. Yeah. Some great longevity with the caregivers there.
Not going anywhere.
Right. Yeah. And Yvonne?
You know, what I really love most is getting to meet new people and getting to learn more about them and finding individualized ways to really meet them where their needs are. And that's not only the people that I'm taking care of, but their family members and just making them feel comfortable that someone's looking after their loved one.
Right. And you're the new kid on the block, aren't you, Tawny?
Yeah, sort of. It started in January.
Okay.
So about 6 months.
There you go. Yeah. How are you liking it so far?
I really enjoy it. And, you know, I really enjoy being able to make connections with someone that I might not otherwise have the opportunity to meet with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think every person that I've met has amazing stories to share.
Nice.
And it's just a great experience to be able to join in on that.
Right. Now, you know, on my show here, we mostly deal with people who have some type of a dementia diagnosis, Parkinson's mm-hmm. disease, Alzheimer's, frontal temporal, whatever it is. But Tara, I want to start with you.
Mm-hmm.
When a family calls and you're sent there, you've received an assessment, you know a little bit about this family. It's not always easy to get the person, whether they have a diagnosis or not,
right,
to let you into the house.
Yeah, in the front door.
Right. Have you ever had a challenge with that?
Oh, absolutely.
How have you dealt with it?
Usually, when I'm met at the door and there's resistance, I usually just say, you know, I completely get that. I would personally feel a little bit uncomfortable with a stranger coming into my home.
Right.
So I say that outright.
Mm-hmm.
I get that.
Mm-hmm.
I totally understand how you would feel that way.
It makes a difference, doesn't it, to
really
empathize
does.
With that person and understand?
I had a client once that I think I was the fourth or fifth caregiver that knocked at his door.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I don't want you here. I wish you would just go. And I said, you know, Bob, I completely understand how you feel. And I would feel the same way.
Right.
And he says, well, why don't you just come on in? Let's have a cup of coffee. I mean, it was just like that. Well, you're here now. You might as well just come on in.
Well, I think part of it is your warm demeanor.
Yeah.
You are one of the warmest, sweetest people I've ever happened to meet. So I love that. So Yvonne or Tawny, either one of you, have you ever worked with a person who was really lonely, like nobody's been there to visit them for a long time, and now you've come in maybe because somebody came home for the holidays and saw grandma, grandpa, mom, or dad, you know, has some issues and they need some additional help. Have either of you, do you want to jump in on that?
Yeah, I think one of the most important things is when you meet someone, find out what they're interested in. And then from there, you can kind of think of activities to do with someone. So, for example, I met with a woman who she didn't have many visitors, and she was just kind of to herself. And so I found out her interest. She used to play piano, and she was really into musicals. And she had one musical CD that she would always listen to. And nice. So for our time together, I would go rent a musical CD. Mm-hmm. We would listen to it and chat or do a puzzle together. And she seemed to really enjoy that time.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Okay. Yvonne, do you have one?
You know, when I'm in somebody's home and I'm trying to learn more about them and find a way to brighten their day, I really like to look around their home and see what's hanging on their walls, what they're displaying, and engage them in conversation about that. Mm-hmm. You know, asking about those family members in the pictures or places that they've traveled or mementos that they have displayed on their shelves. And that usually engages us in, you know, some really great stories and some talking points.
Oh, so true. So with person-centered care that I talk about a lot on the show, it's really important to me that we understand who that person was, what they did for a vocation, an occupation in their life, and did they volunteer anywhere? And we can really use that information, can't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, some of the biggest issues that we have are finding not only those interests that they have and meaningful activities, but families have a lot of trouble, for example, with bathing. Tara, you've been at this 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had any creative ways that you've helped with somebody that maybe a family member just said, I can't get mom or dad or so on, so-and-so husband, whatever, to bathe?
Well, certainly. I think the best way I've been able to approach it is just to physically go to that shower hour area.
Mm-hmm.
And walk through it myself, put my client in the position of the caregiver and me be the client, and I would just step in, sit down, just kind of literally go through the motions. This is how it's going to go. And if they don't want to do it, that's okay.
Right.
You know, that's okay.
You know, we call that modeling. So you're showing them what to do, and then you get out and ask them to get in.
If they're not ready to do it today, that's okay. We'll try again tomorrow. I had a client that literally it took months.
Wow. Yeah.
And I was giving her sponge baths.
Mm-hmm.
She did have Alzheimer's, so mm-hmm. water is an issue.
Right, right.
With Alzheimer's, it's
coming
really
down
strange.
In their face, it's scary.
It's very uncomfortable for them, almost painful.
Yeah.
So so just little bit by little bit, I finally got her into the shower, got her out. She put her bathrobe on. She sat down in her comfy chair, and she says, Tara, I am so sorry that it took this long, because that was the most enjoyable shower I have ever had.
Sweet.
And it was. So it's nice. Sometimes being patient and just waiting, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. Yvonne or Tawny, any thoughts? No?
I think a really good approach to it is also to ask them, you know, what's keeping them from bathing? What are they afraid of? So that way, you know, any maybe preconceptions that you have on why they aren't wanting to bathe, you might, you know, learn something new. Maybe they're afraid of falling. Maybe it is that the water is a scary sensation to them. So taking that time to ask them, you know, what they're fearful about and really showing that you understand that and you're there to help them through that.
I love that. The tell me more theory, right?
Right.
Yeah. Maybe it's as simple as a lack of color contrast in the shower. Maybe they can't see the bench because it's white if it's in the bathtub, you know, that kind of thing. So being very conscious of that. So like I said, folks, I really love that I have some great caregivers here today with Home Instead Denver North, and they are going to give us some good ideas about ways to work with our loved ones. And what do we do when we call a home care company to come in? This is probably the best in the city. I love these ladies and the guys that work there. And when we come back from a break, we're going to have more questions about how do I get my loved one to go out of the house? What activities do we utilize during different seasons and things like that? So stay with us, grab that pad and pen, and we will be right back. Hey friends, I'm excited to tell you about Pine Grove Crossing Assisted Living and Memory Care in Parker, Colorado. They set the bar high for person-centered care. They're locally owned, and they focus on exceeding their residents' expectations while providing excellent dining, housekeeping, and transportation services. Their care team with licensed nurses are available 16 hours per day, 7 days a week, to ensure clinical needs are addressed as soon as possible. Check them out at pinegrovecrossing.com or 303-996-8000 and see how care goes into everything they do.
It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
All right, I am back with the caregivers from Home Instead Denver North. And we have some good practical applications for you today on the show. I'm really excited about this because I like picking the brains of the people who do it well. And I really think you all do that. I really love what you're doing there at Home Instead. So here's my question now. If a person, a client, hasn't been out of their house in a long time, maybe they have Alzheimer's, early stages, mid stages, maybe they're just a recluse and they haven't been out or don't have a driver's license, so they never had any reason to go out, whatever it is, they haven't been out of the house for an outing in a long time. How do you work with that? I want each one of you to think about that and give me a response. Terry, you're shaking your head, so let's start with you.
I'm trying to decide which scenario.
You just pick one. We might round back around to you.
I did have a client who was wheelchair bound.
Okay.
And that was a challenge. Mm-hmm. And we had a transfer board, but she was still not wanting to do that.
Right.
And but my car, fortunately for me, I have a very nice, easy to get into car. It's low to the ground.
Sure.
And I have grab bars here, and I have grab bars here in the front, in the dash.
You know, okay.
So that makes it easy. And we practiced.
Okay.
We went out to the car. I say, is today the day we want to try this? And she said, I'm not ready. That's okay. Let me just show you my car.
Okay.
And we practiced.
Right.
Just transferring, sliding from her chair onto the board and right into my car.
Very creative.
And it took a long time.
Right.
Months, probably.
Yeah.
But we did finally.
Okay. I like it.
We finally got into my car and we just went for a drive. We went to the mountains.
There you go. There you go.
That was something that she had not been able to do in a very long time. She had been wheelchair bound.
Sweet.
For over a year.
Sweet story. I love that.
Yeah.
Yvonne, Tawny?
You know, I think it really goes back to finding about what their interests are.
Right.
And kind of ways to modify that. So if they really liked gardening or bird watching or just going to the park, if they're not ready to leave the house, that's something you can do in the yard by meeting them at their ability level or, you know, like you said, taking a drive, just going out to visit a friend or something as simple as that. So really asking what those big interests are and finding a way to make it doable for them.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
And I think it's important, too, to take baby steps, especially if they haven't been out for a while. So maybe walk with them to the mailbox or take a drive around the block.
Right.
And then from there, you can kind of build up on the activities based on their comfort level.
Ah, see, I told you we were going to have great information on this show today. I love it. So let's drill down a little bit. Activities during different seasons, right? Mm-hmm. So it's summertime right now. It's a little hot. And it's not always hot, but when it's really hot, what kind of things can you do with your folks? Let's start with you, Yvonne.
Right. So just something outside, but keeping it in the shade, keeping it to a short duration. Really staying seated helps them conserve that energy and not get too overheated.
Mm-hmm.
It can be as simple as, like you said, going to the mailbox, you know, walking outside to look at their flowers or to just feel that fresh air.
Right. What if it were winter time? What do you have, Tawny? What would you do in the fall or the winter?
You know, there's different activities that you can do inside of the house. Again, based on the interest. I think that's the key thing here with anything. Whether they like reading or movies or putting a puzzle together, it just varies.
Mm-hmm. And do you practice taking your folks out on a regular basis, Tara?
Well, sure. I had a client that in the winter months, because we weren't able to get outside and actually be outside, we would get into the car and go to the gym.
Well, there you go.
And just, just doing a little walking on the treadmill was her favorite thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was in her 80s and had Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
And the people in the gym would see her come in and they would applaud her.
Oh, that's great.
You know, and give her such, because most of the time she was sitting in her isolation, you know, mm-hmm. Alzheimer's, you tend to draw within.
Right.
And for her to get out and have some meaningful exchange with people because she felt like she was useless.
Well, you know why, and that's because they feel like they're going to say the wrong thing,
right.
They're going to do the wrong thing, they're going to respond inappropriately to something,
mm-hmm.
and it's really your job to keep them safe,
mm-hmm.
right? And when you are working with them for long periods of time, you really build relationships with them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now let's tackle a tough question. And I really want to know if any of you have had an issue with this. I know there are times when a spouse will say, my wife can't do that, or don't let her in the kitchen to help you with anything. Or how do you work with spouses who are only seeing what that person has lost, not what they can still do, and that direct dichotomy that you're dealing with? Who wants to feel that first? You look like, Yvonne, you've got a thought on that.
You know, that can be a really tough spot to be in, because you're dealing with someone who has seen that person and what they were, and how they've been throughout their life. And you're coming in with a different perspective, meeting them where they're at now. So kind of just having that conversation with them, you know, I understand that what you're going through is tough, and that you're dealing with this all day on a daily basis. But, you know, part of my job is to help your loved one engage in things that are meaningful to them in a safe way. And I'm going to work with you both to make sure that your loved one is kept safe and still enjoying these daily activities.
Mm-hmm. Right. Tara, you've got 10 years of this. I'm sure you've encountered it more than once.
You know, I have found that I can step into a home and say, Mr., why don't you take a break? Mm-hmm. I got this.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If you need a nap, you look like you could use a nap. You look tired. You look like you've been up all night.
Right.
Take a break. I've got this. I'll take it from here. Don't worry about it.
You know, Tara, I'm going to put you on the spot here for a second. By the way, I think you're one of the best caregivers I've ever personally met.
You.
But I share a story that involved you.
Yes.
A couple of times. Our dear friend, Rachel.
Yes.
And by all accounts, you were doing everything as perfect as somebody could have thought you could have been doing, right?
Right.
Right. But I get a call from Rachel because she was in my early stage class at the Alzheimer's Association. And she said she had osteoporosis, so it wasn't necessarily easy to get her out anymore.
Right.
And take her to the grocery store. Everything takes 4 times longer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so in your mind, you just thought as long as her husband was taking her to the gym, she was getting plenty of exercise.
Right.
You'd pick up the groceries, make it easy, and go in and fix dinner.
Right.
Let her just relax and enjoy after she got back from the gym, and you'd fix dinner for her.
Right.
But she started feeling diminished, unbeknownst to you.
Yeah, I felt really bad about that.
That's all right. You don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. This is where we learn.
Yeah,
these are teaching moments, right?
Right.
Because for all intents and purposes, you were doing the exact right thing for what the circumstances presented to you.
Right.
But Rachel had commented that her husband thought she could go to the gym, but she was getting lost in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
She couldn't follow all the steps that it took.
Right.
And so after that, we had a conversation and you changed. You started including her in things again, helping with fixing dinner and helping with setting the table and various things like that.
Right.
And we talked her husband into letting her bowl, right?
Right.
I'm proud
That's
of you.
Right. That's
I'm
right.
I'm proud of you. A bowl in the hallway.
Yes. We actually set up plastic bottles.
Yeah.
And a little rubber ball.
And
it got to be not just knocking them down, but setting them back up became part of the activity, too.
Well, that's exactly right. Yeah.
It was exercise that she was getting as she was participating. It made her feel good.
When we come back, I just want to ask you how that changed you as a caregiver and the impact it had on you. You do mind doing
not
that?
Not at all.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Living and working with Alzheimer's and other dementias can often be challenging. Summit Resilience Training provides education utilizing non-medical approaches for those who work with our friends affected by dementia. Believing families still need one-on-one assistance, we provide classes which help them understand the diseases affecting their loved ones, offering strategies and techniques for success with activities of daily living and working with confusing behaviors. We offer in-home assessments to clarify symptoms of dementia diseases and help families work together to find moments of joy while living with memory loss and impairment. Education programs instilling person-centered care philosophies are offered for professional caregivers working in communities and homes, which can be customized for their staff. Training is also available for first responders, such as law enforcement, fire, and EMT personnel. We are passionate that people with dementias, such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and others, are approached with compassion and understanding, and those who work with them have all the tools they need for success. Call us at Summit Resilience Training, 303-420-6988, to schedule a class or in-home assessment. Visit our website at summitresiliencetraining.com for more information.
It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Okay, we're back with the caregivers from Homestead Denver North. And I just put Tara Bennett on the spot. She is just one of the best, really, seriously, one of the best caregivers I've ever met. But we had a teaching moment.
Yes.
And you handled it with such grace. Aww. And so we just want to finish the thought. How did that affect you as a caregiver with all your years to have something that, you know, you just thought you were kind of plugging along, doing the most efficient job for that family that you could. And by all accounts, you were a 10 on a scale of 1 to 10, right?
Thank you.
But then the patient with Alzheimer's actually said, hey, I want to be more involved in my home things that I'm doing with Tara. I want her to include me in fixing dinner, and I don't want to go to the gym with my husband. Mm-hmm. So we had to come together and come up with a new plan, because right. that's what happens.
Right.
It evolves. How did that affect you?
Well, it certainly made me take a good look at myself, because I do have a tendency to kind of walk in and take over things. So it focused me on what her needs were.
Yeah.
Whether she spoke out to me or not, I got to hear about it, and then I got to think about it, and then I was able to, okay, Rachel, how about you chop up the carrots, and I'll work on the chicken.
There you go.
You know, we worked together, and
there
it worked out really well.
Oh, it was beautiful. And we've used it as a teaching moment many times to just say, when you're 3-4 years with somebody, when you're really with that person for a long time and you built that relationship, it behooves us to sit down with them and say, tell me what you need right now.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
You
That's
know,
right.
even if they have short-term memory, it helps, right? Mm-hmm. All right. So let's move on to something else. Tawny.
Yes.
What kind of a cueing skill or technique have you used with somebody that our listeners would say, wow, that was a good one? Mm-hmm. Just anything.
You know, one of the things that I use is kind of a cue to maybe bring someone back on topic or maybe switch topics is look at the pictures in their house or any kind of knickknacks and just ask them, you know, tell me a story about that. And then it kind of changes the subject a little bit. If we aren't in their house, then what I usually do is I either ask about their family members or their past profession. Mm-hmm. They're usually able to tell me a great story about that, and we can kind of build a conversation off of that.
Nice. Okay. Yvonne, do you have one?
Yeah. So in some situations where maybe my client has gone into kind of a Sundowners episode and she's kind of forgotten that I'm in her home to help her, you know, I just really try to take a step back, remain calm, and think about how she's feeling in that situation.
There you go.
So I've been in a situation where in the middle of the night, my client suddenly forgot that I'm there to help her. You know, she wanted to clean the house and do things that weren't really safe at her ability level. So I wasn't afraid to, you know, talk to the family, see what helps in those kind of situations, talk to her, be patient with her. And it came down to, you know, letting her read a book at 3 a.m. mm-hmm. To kind of ease back into just sitting next to her, showing her that, you know, I wasn't trying to make her do anything she didn't want to do. And then we kind of gradually just worked back into getting her back to bed and somewhere safer.
Awesome. So as we kind of close out this last session, can you think of just a really great or fun success story maybe you've had that you would like to share with one of your clients?
Yeah, I have a good story. There is one woman that I would take to church every morning. And so I went to go pick her up. And when we were walking out of her house, she locks her house from the inside. And so you know where this is going. So she closes the door and very casually says, uh-oh, SpaghettiOs. I said, what's wrong? She said, I locked my keys and my purse in the house.
Oh, no.
And we didn't have a spare. So we were trying to brainstorm ideas of how we could get back inside of the house.
Tawny troubleshooter.
Well, I know.
Here we go.
So she said, oh, well, my kitchen window is unlocked and open. You could crawl through the kitchen window, go through my house, and open the door for me. And right. so that's what I did.
Oh,
I crawled through the window, walked through her house, unlocked the door, and she got her keys and her purse, and then we made it to church on time, and we had a pretty good laugh about it after that.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love that. Who's next?
Well,
Tara.
Getting back to Bob.
Okay.
Knocking on his door and having him make me go away, but then I ended up coming in for coffee.
Right.
We ended up meeting every morning at 7 a.m. for that coffee. He'd already have his breakfast by the time I got there. He'd say, are you ready to go? It would be 12 degrees outside, and we would go down to Berkeley mm-hmm. park, the lake.
Right.
And we would go three times around that lake. This was a man who was a Marine.
Okay.
But very small in right. stature. Right. And just moved like a little goat, like a little mountain goat. and he would just go, go, go. And I'd say, Bob, wait up, you know. And then we got to where we were so comfortable with each other, I would actually tell him, Bob, you're like an old goat hopping on those rocks. He would skip on rocks.
Oh, how funny. And you'd have a good laugh over
it. Oh, we would laugh. We would watch the sunrise.
Oh, nice.
We would watch the sunrise. It would be bundled up, hoodies and gloves and scarves. It'd be very cold. But that's what he wanted to do, so that's what we did.
Sweet.
And we got some really good exercise out of it and just really had really fun conversation and truly enjoy that sun coming up and right. do a little praise.
Yeah,
you know?
Don't forget to stop and smell the roses,
that's
right?
It was great.
Nice. Yeah. Yvonne, what you got, girl?
You know, I've worked with several different types of clients, and some of my favorite clients to work with are those on hospice care. Because I just like being, you know, that moment in their day mm-hmm. to find, you know, that one way to brighten it. So some of my most favorite moments with my clients are, you know, watching the Olympics with them.
Right.
You know, picking a country to root for or finding their favorite snacks, talking with them and their families, and just seeing that smile through some of those hard moments really brightens my day. And I feel like it helps brighten theirs, too. Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, you know, folks, if you want to use Home Instead Denver North, the way you can reach them is you can call them at 303-463-1900. I'll say that again, 303-463-1900. And their website, if you're looking for work, is homeinstead.com/Denver North. And then go on their careers tab to apply for a job. They take good care of you, don't they, girls?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do they take as good of care of you as they do their clients?
I think that's probably the biggest thing about Home Instead is that I have a resource.
Yeah.
Because this job is not always easy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It can be very emotionally draining. And I know I can pick up the phone and call, and someone is going to be on that line and will listen.
Yep, I've never hesitated to get a call to ask for help.
I've actually stopped in and closed the door with somebody and just had a good cry.
Yeah.
Because I can do that.
Yeah.
That supports me.
Right.
And I can continue doing what I am doing.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
By filling my cup back up.
Right.
Sometimes our cup gets emptied.
Well, that's right. Yvonne, how do they fill your emotional tank?
You know, they are really big on us having quarterly meetings, us communicating with other caregivers outside of our shifts. And I think that that's a huge resource because being a caregiver, it can be a lot of feeling like you're on your own and going to different people's houses and not really seeing your coworkers. And Home Instead really works to tackle that issue by having us meet regularly and feel like we're not only connected to the company, but to each other as well.
Right. And they also follow up with us and give us a call just to check in and see how we're doing, just as simple as that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know it's a great place to work, and I'm just going to plug this for a second. All of you have been through my Alzheimer's training. Mm-hmm. I hope it's been helpful to you along the way.
Yes.
And you've been through an 8-hour class,
yes,
Tara.
Yes.
The rest of you have been through 4-hour mm-hmm. classes, but it makes a difference when you come into somebody's home and you know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much.
I love
thank
it. You. I hope, Caregiver Nation, you learned something today. Call them at 303-463-1900. And by the way, you can find a way to listen to this podcast on Cruisin' 1430 AM. Go on and look for Weekend Programming, Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, and I'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz. Visit her website at summitresiliencetraining.com to learn more, and join us next week as we learn more about dementia, Alzheimer's, and overcoming obstacles with a positive outcome. See you next time.